Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. The following sermon is by our Director of Media and Worship, Susan Alloway.
Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Thanks, Ian. So, happy Mother's Day, everybody. It's good to see all of you. I am at the mill and it is freezing in here, so I'm wearing a blanket and I will most likely be blowing my nose frequently. So, it's going to be really attractive, but we're going to get through it. And we're going to be going through Psalm 19. And for the purpose of this, we're going to do a little exercise. So before I start, if you can make sure you have a piece of paper and something to write with, that would be great. We're going to listen to the psalm a couple times through different lenses. So yeah, you'll need that paper. So I picked this passage for two different reasons. One is that I've always found God in nature, and so as a kid, I felt a lot of camaraderie with the writer here. And the second reason is that I can't tell you how many times I've heard the words, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer, prayed before a sermon. Everybody uses it there all the time. So it's a really familiar passage to me. But it turns out tonight, I actually want to talk about the middle section, not those two sections. I want to talk about the middle section that's all about laws and rules. And I want to ask you one simple question. Is your God loving or angry? Is your God loving or angry? It might not be 100% one or the other, but we all tend to lean more to one side. And we're gonna get the law either way, but how you read the law will depend on what you think about God. So is your God loving or angry? Do you see God as loving or angry? So usually when we think of the law, we think of the Ten Commandments, or maybe even Charlton Heston. I definitely watched that every year growing up. Or maybe you've read the books of Exodus and Leviticus. Or if you know the Old Testament really well, maybe you think of the ground swallowing people whole and Uzzah being killed for touching the Ark of the Covenant. Or you might even remember the curses that were issued in the Garden of Eden, or the genocide that occurs when Israel finally enters the Promised Land. And these aren't very fun passages, right? I get that God seems really angry in those passages. So we're going to do our first section exercise. So grab your paper. I'm going to read the middle section of Psalm 19 again, and I want you to write down the words that stand out to you, okay? So here we go. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. So you have a couple words. I'm not going to make you list them all out. But when I did this exercise the other day, these are the words that stood out to me. Law, statutes, right, commands, fear, righteous, errors, faults, rule, and transgression. When I read through the lens of an angry God, I notice the hard things, the harsh things. The things that create a dichotomy of I'm right and you're wrong. I notice the things that make me feel like God could squash me if I step a toe out of line. And when I read it this way, I agree with the Apostle Paul that the law brings death. That's how it feels. It's not good news. And it begs the question, is the God who gave the law good? And yet there are so many other words in this psalm, and they're words that don't seem to mesh very well with the angry God interpretation. And in fact, if we start with verse 1, it starts out really beautifully and joyfully talking about the sun. It says, the sun is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. That makes me feel all like warm and fuzzy, right? So what? Then the passage takes like a hard left and starts talking about laws and rules and the Ten Commandments. That seems kind of weird, right? So that makes me want to talk about the law for a second. Sometimes we remember the law, or specifically the Ten Commandments, as the thou shalt nots, right? As though God just doesn't want us to have any fun. But let's talk about who those commandments were first given to. They were first given to the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel had just left Egypt after generations of being slaves. And if you remember the Moses stories, being a slave wasn't a pretty life. Slaves were whipped and beaten. They were killed. They were forced into labor to build the pyramids. They were abused for generations. And that's enough time to not really remember anything different, to culturally not remember a time when anything was better. And so when God rescues them out of slavery, he brings them out and he sets some new ground rules. Here's the one that I always remember. I think it's pretty funny. Exodus 21:28-30. It says, if a bull has had the habit of goring people. And the owner has been warned, but has not kept it penned up. And it kills a man or a woman. The bull must be stoned to death, and the owner also must be stoned to death. However, if payment is demanded of him, he may redeem his life by paying whatever is demanded. So it's really harsh, but there is a way out, at least. That's kind of nice. As I was thinking about that, I felt like I should translate it. So this is what I thought of. We all know that we're not supposed to drink and drive, right? But if you do drink and drive, and then you cause an accident where someone else dies, you will get sent to jail for vehicular manslaughter. Like, that's going to happen. And we understand that. It makes sense. It's kind of obvious. So God gives a lot of laws to the people of Israel, and some of them seem really obvious or even silly. Gary's favorite one is Leviticus 13:40 that says, now if a man loses the hair of his head, he is bald. He is clean. So these might seem really obvious, but after generations of slavery, God had to spell every little thing out so that they could start over, so that they could learn to be a society that's filled with love and joy and generosity and peace. Now, in the new Susan Alloway version, the Ten Commandments say things like, keep following the God who's teaching you good things, and don't cheat on your spouse. Don't kill people. Don't take other people's things. Don't lie about other people. It's the things that we learn as toddlers, right? Share your toys. Don't pull things out of other people's hands. Don't hit. Listen to your parents. God spells these things out for them so that they would know for the first time the most important things in life. Like Jesus says later, to love your God and love your neighbor. The law was given as examples of how to love, how to not take advantage of one another and not abuse one another. The law was given by a God who wanted to spread love. So let's read that middle section again. And with a loving God in mind this time, I want you to write down the words that stand out to you. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. And then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. So again, I'm not going to make you list out all of yours. But when I did it the other day, these are the words that stood out to me. Refreshing, trustworthy, joy to the heart, radiant, light, eyes, precious, sweeter, and blameless. When I read this with a loving God in mind, not only does it make sense with the rest of the joyful psalm, but I also notice very different things. I notice words that make me relax and make me smile. I notice the soft things, that give me courage to move forward in life, knowing that God delights in me, that God is for me, and that we're in this together. And when I come to verses 12 and 13, the ones that say, "But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and innocent of great transgression." When I come to those verses, I hear a person longing to not be captive to their own selfishness. Someone who's asking God to help them never harm another person. I hear trust instead of fearing punishment. And so this is my conclusion from all of it. I like rules. I like knowing all of the rules so that I can keep from embarrassing myself in certain situations. But knowing who those rules come from and what kind of person they are makes a huge difference. If the rule maker is someone who cares more about the rules than about people, or if the rule maker is unapproachable, if the rule maker is prone to anger, then I will live my life in fear. I'll tiptoe around and I'll avoid being seen by the rule maker. But if I know that the rule maker is humble and kind, that the rule maker cares about others even more than self, and that the rule maker loves me and always has time for me, then I can live my life in freedom and in joy. And I can seek the rules as wisdom. And I can know that if I ever mess up, I can always come back home to seek forgiveness and restoration. So I don't claim to know everything about Scripture, and some passages are really, really hard to understand. But I do know that our God loves you. And if you ever have doubts about that, I encourage you to remember Psalm 19. I encourage you to go outside and listen to the heavens.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.